welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We are here Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., Wednesdays at 9 a.m., and Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. And you can tune in to all of those online at richarddugan.com. All of our interviews, our conversations, our podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and many other locations. We're also on YouTube. And hope you'll subscribe. Hope you'll click notification. We have 9 programs a week that we are broadcasting. And we hope that you will tune into any or all of them, for that matter. We also encourage you to support us financially if you can. This is not a request saying, oh, no, if we don't get your help. No. I had enough of the televangelist yahoos back in the 80s, early 90s when I worked for a Christian radio station. I'll never pull that. Never, ever pull that. But if you can support us financially, we would be gratefully appreciative. We have a PayPal account. It is there for your security as well as ours. When they ask you for an email address to whom you're going to send, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And let's see. Oh, one other thing. Before I start coughing here, pardon me, I need to take a sip here because for some reason the air is rather dry where I am. Ironic, considering all of the rain that we have had. We also ask that if you would take the time to spend a quiet, peaceful moment within listening to that still, small voice might help, especially with the subject we're going to cover today. Let me tell you, it's going to be interesting. So please take some time to listen to your intuition, if you will. Well, folks, according to research, moving is one of the most stressful life events. And on average, 15.3 million people, that's Americans specifically, households, they move each year, which is kind of amazing. And then whether it's across the country, going abroad, or just, God forbid, just moving down the street. I mean, come on. Just move the building. That would be easier, I think. Preparing for every detail of the move process can be overwhelming. And I will tell you, when we moved from Phoenix to Santa Barbara, the only thing that really shocked me was when they had completely loaded the cab over 18-wheeler tractor trailer with all of our stuff, and they got it to Santa Barbara, and they handed me the bill. They charged me for 9,000 pounds of stuff, basically $5,000. That's how they charge you, not by the trip or anything, but by how much it weighs. Well, that's a weighty subject for Devra Jacobs, who understands firsthand what it takes to make the challenges of relocating more manageable and how to enjoy the process along the way. Devra, welcome to our program. Thank you for moving without moving to this this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I still remember those days when we were just trying to get everything. I mean, we both lost our jobs as of February 2006, and in Phoenix, we decided that we could stay and find other jobs, or we could move. And one of the places we talked about was Ireland. And when you think about it, 9,000 pounds of stuff, I don't know how we would have moved all that. We would have had to gotten rid of most of it, I'm sure. Or moved to Santa Barbara, my wife's hometown. So we took a week off and we came to Santa Barbara for a week. Rest, relaxation, and research. Moved back, put the house up for sale, and within quite literally less than 2 months, we were on the road. House had just been sold. Proceeds were in the bank. We were on our way. which may be the reason why I don't want to move again. By the same token, there's no guarantee that we won't. If you are faced with that prospect of moving, which obviously you and I and many, many others, 15.3 million of us, and that's just in the States alone, what is the second thing that you need to do to begin this process so that the third, fourth, fifth, and 1600 and 1700 steps are made somewhat more manageable?
The first thing you want to do is buy the book because it makes all those steps more manageable. This sounds like from the story you were telling, you would have done well to have read the chapter we have about how to hire professional movers, because there are a lot of them that will do that to you, but there's also there's certain laws and little fine print in contracts that will hold the professional national movers where they can't charge you more than a percentage of their estimate. So that, yeah, but if you don't go with the right companies that actually have that in their contract, then you're left out to dry. I did that on a move where it was charged by the foot. And I thought, well, maybe this is going to be better than by the pound. And boy, was I wrong, because they just loaded the truck away that they went over how many feet. And they literally said, you have to pay $1,000 more right now, or we take your stuff away. Yeah. So that's a really, really important chapter in this book, is how to hire the right kind of movers. Or decide if you want to do a DIY move.
Well, of course, that's what we did. Matter of fact, we initially went with one of these pod services, right? Where we actually had them deliver one of these pods. And as we were loading it, we realized it's never all going to fit. In other
Right.
words, the pod we got was too small because we didn't think we had that much. Is that one of the issues too that a lot of folks have? They don't realize how much they've accumulated?
I think that, and we talk about preparing for a move and how you really need to go through everything you own, from your makeup to your furniture. And anything that you don't want, that you know you're not going to want on the other end, sell it, donate it, get rid of it. The weight is what gets you. I had moved mattresses that were 10 years old and weren't all that good anymore, but I thought, I need to have a mattress on the other end. Well, it cost me almost as much to move that mattress as it would have been to buy a brand new one on the other end. So, we talk a lot about that in the book. Purge, go through, and I always tell people, if you've got a month before you're actually going to be moving, start packing then. And you pack everything. I mean, if it's in the middle of summer, you don't need your Christmas decorations. Start packing up everything you know you don't want. Mark your boxes well. And if you're not going to need it, and you've got two sets of frying pans, get rid of them. There's no sense moving stuff you're not going to need.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Matter of fact, we actually had a friend of ours who came out to visit us, thankfully, and brought with him two items in particular that, for whatever reason, I had completely forgotten about, or forgotten to pack, or forgotten to have put on the truck, which would not have added a whole lot. Now, bear in mind, I will tell you that that 9,000 pounds did include a piano, which
I
unfortunately,
did that before.
yeah, we left it. Unfortunately, we left it outside for a number of years, and I ended up having to literally break it into pieces in order to throw it away. There was no
But
reason.
you paid to move it,
I paid to
to
move
begin
it
with.
and then
Yes.
throw it away.
Yeah.
That was money well spent, wasn't it?
I did that when my parents had passed away right before I moved, and I couldn't bear to leave their furniture. And so I moved it with me, not thinking, oh, am I going to have any room in the house for this when I move? And I moved it. It was heavy old furniture. And then I had to sell it once I got there because I had no place to store it. So I understand.
That's one of the, it
Will
sounds,
tell you.
go ahead. Now I want you to go ahead. I'm just going to say that that is probably one of the biggest issues that a lot of people don't even think about. And then again, as you have already stated, they have just wasted 1,000 or maybe more on moving something that they could have. I'm just going to say this way, they could have potentially just left behind. I mean, just leave it in the house, let the new owners, deal with it. Is that something that is that fair to the new owners?
No. And also, the majority of people these days that are moving are renters. So you can't leave stuff. I one of the answers to this, especially when you're talking about pods or self moves, is I advise people in the book to tape off an area like in a living room or an extra room. Tape it off the size of the pod or the truck that you're going to be renting. Go on to the different sites and find out approximately how much they will load. But you tape off the area, you learn how high it is inside the truck, go down to one of the rental places and stand in the truck and measure it. And then as you pack, move it into that taped area. This is how I realized on one of my moves that I needed to sell my washer and dryer. There was no way. It was either going to be my couch or the washer and dryer that was going to fit in the truck. So you have to figure out really what do you want?
There are two reasons why I regret moving the piano now. Obviously, it's a shame that
Just
it,
two.
yeah, just two. Yeah, just two. And one of them was or is that it belonged to my wife's family, and and we didn't take it with us, or I should say we shouldn't have taken it with us. We should have sold it, especially considering I mean, I don't play the piano, and neither does she. And so it's like, okay, even if we had moved it in the house and kept it in good condition, I mean, what's the real point?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like my father passed away last March, and I was at my mother and father's townhouse, and my mother said, "Come here, Richard. I want you to go through some of your father's things. Take what you'd like. That kind of thing, right?" So I go in there and I find his ukulele, which I don't play, and his harmonica. Now, the harmonica is a little more manageable than the ukulele. So I basically that's what I decided to take. That was one of the items anyway. My vest that I'm wearing, a belt buckle my father had, and so forth. But in terms of musical instruments, thank God he didn't have a piano. But that's
I definitely recommend for, everybody has these things that they inherit.
yeah.
And most of them are like some ugly little figurine or a lamp, that they hate. They've kept it in a closet. That's when you call all your relatives and you say, who wants this? Who wants that? And you get rid of it before you move.
Yeah, but that also raises the interesting question that I have talked with an appraiser about. This is again, this is what she does. She appraises things. And she wrote this this book about that very thing, but it had more to do with, you know, the passing away of a relative, you know, that kind of thing. And do the kids really want this stuff? You know? And there was something that I had forgotten about that I wish that I had, you know, part of me wishes, I wish I'd gotten that. Well, it's probably gone now. I doubt that my mother kept it. You know what I'm saying? So once it's gone, it's gone. Well, if the universe didn't want you to have, if the universe wanted you to have it, you would have it. And that's
That's right.
kind of the way that I look at it. So is that something that we need to look at as well in terms of, I mean, just starting with, okay, I'm not planning on moving, but someday it could happen. Do I really want this in my home? Do I really need this in my home?
I, you know, I, because we're both spiritual kind of people, what I always tell people, because you never know if you're going to have to move. I mean, it could come up last minute. I've had houses sold out from underneath me that I was renting and had 2 weeks to find someplace to move to. So you don't know. So I tell people, walk around, put your hand on a piece of furniture or an item and ask, does this serve me? If it doesn't, I don't care if it was your great, great, great grandmother's. If it doesn't serve you, let the energy of that item go to somebody it will, whether it's another relative or donating it to Goodwill. It doesn't matter. You don't need it. Don't move it.
That is a very good point. And like I said, I felt badly taking that piano apart. I mean, it had been sitting out. I had it covered with a tarp, sitting on some bricks so it wouldn't sink into the ground when the rains came. But I didn't think it was going to be out there for 10 or 12 years.
And you could have simply called around to music schools and things and found if there was somebody who, you know, was didn't have the money to buy a piano, but their child wanted to play the piano and donate it.
Yeah. Good point. A little late, but a good point. Why did you, I mean, obviously from your experiences, it makes sense to me. But why did you decide that you needed to write a book about this stuff? Just because, I mean, everybody's doing it. Let them figure it out for everybody's going to figure it out for themselves anyway, right? What was the catalyst for you?
I was actually discussing moving with the people who own Beyond Words Publishing. And they said, you know, you're right on all the stuff you're talking about. There is nothing out there like this. Why don't you write the book? And I said, well, matter of fact, I am not a writer. I'm a good agent, but I'm a terrible writer. So I got my best friend, Britt Elders, who is an incredible writer, to write the book with me. And I mean, the publisher was absolutely correct. There isn't anything out there on the market like this. And I just want people to be able to go through this experience in an organized way where they're not stressing it. I mean, moving is somewhere right under a death in the family and a divorce for the amount of stress. So why do that if you don't have to? And if you've got kids that are going away to college, get them a copy of the book. They're going to need it. Military. People move. I mean, it's kind of like death and taxes. You know, almost everybody moves at some point.
And that's true. I mean, and I remember when I was living at home, up until I was 21, thinking about it. I delivered newspapers, back in Phoenix, and it was to this series of apartment complexes that I could actually ride my bicycle around the pool, tossing papers to the various apartment complex, apartment, the doors. I got so good at it. One day I was delivering the thin Saturday paper, and it went, the front door was open, and I didn't even realize it. And it went right through that open front door. And all of a sudden I hear, "Hey, great shot." And I landed it right in the guy's lap. I didn't even know there was any, I didn't know the door was open, let alone that my target was his lap. But I told myself one day I'm going to live in one of these apartments. I like this place. It was, and the place was called, it's no longer, the apartments are still there, but it's different name now. Called the Mediterranean Villa, and that's kind of what it was, very Mediterranean, lots of green leafy plants and everything. One day I got the opportunity to move there. It was so cool. And I moved into one of their small studio apartments, if you can really say that, because then I thought, you know what, I want a something just slightly bigger, not a one bedroom, because I couldn't really afford it. So they moved me into a little larger studio apartment, but it was still small. And I had to pack up all my stuff from home. I still have, if you're ready for this one, talk about holding on to stuff. I still have not only all four yearbooks from high school, I can't even remember the last time I went through them. I also have the yearbook, which is not hardcover, from eighth grade. I still have that. I don't know why. And to protect it, I've put it in a larger Ziploc bag. And it's in one of my file cabinets. I mean, I have stuff that I've collected from childhood that I still have. They're small little things, little trinket, this kind of stuff. Somehow I came in possession of a 1964 silver Kennedy half dollar that's still in the plastic container that it came in when I got it.
That's amazing.
Other things of that nature. Now, when you talk about getting rid of stuff and you're starting to go through your things, how do you know, unless you have an appraiser with you, how do you know whether it's worth anything to even try to sell it? And sometimes I have to wonder if the effort might be maybe in vain, because unless there's a market for it, you might as well just put it in the trash, which is also a sad thing to do.
See, I kind of take a different outlook on it. A lot of times when you're donating things like furniture, like that recliner chair that you really don't need this, and you don't even know if it's going to fit. Sometimes the tax deduction of donating it to Habitat for Humanity or something is going to be just as valuable as trying to sell it. But you can always, go things like my washer and dryer, on this last move I made, I sold it with the property, and I've had books. Well, as an agent, I acquire tons and tons and tons of books from publishers. And in one move, I had 25 boxes of books that I knew I wasn't ever going to read again. So I donated them to the library. I donated clothes to women's shelters. So you just, but all of this kind of stuff is in the book. You think about it, and like the little things, they probably do serve you. That eighth grade, book from elementary school or middle school. It may give you happy moments when you look at it. Why would you get rid of that? But if your child is now 12 and you're trying to pack the things for your child from when they were three, like all their little toys and stuff, don't do that. That's a waste of money.
I don't know why this just now came to mind, but be that as it may. Gee, if I can find it in my file cabinet, I ought to scan it into the computer. Make it digital so that if I were to lose it physically, I still have it and I can still flip through it. Now, I did what you did because as an interviewer, I have hundreds of books, not in as many containers as you, but I was actually in Phoenix able to find bookstores that would buy them from me. They didn't
Absolutely.
cost me anything, so I was actually making money. But now I'm here in Santa Barbara and I'm trying to do the same thing. And so far, I have not found any place that's willing to buy them. And they're in excellent condition. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them.
You can do that through consignment. Used con bookstores have consignment that you can do that through. Some of them you can't, but the other cool thing, like I did that where I got rid of books that I could resell, and then I still had like 50 left over. So I drove around the neighborhood, all those little kiosks that people have put up for people to share books, and I just started loading these kiosks with books. It got them out of my way and will serve someone else.
We actually have something like that here in Santa Barbara that w they put these and they're these big metal shelves, but what's rather unique is these shelves have been made in the shape of punctuation marks, the pound sign. I mean, and again, these stand 4 or 5 feet, sometimes 6 feet tall. And they will place them on the corners along State Street,
It's
which
perfect.
is our main street. And I'd have to find out, okay, when they're going to do that again. But I mean, that is something that certainly I hadn't even thought about doing. I could just load, I mean, I would literally be loading those up, they would be full to overflowing with all of the books that I have. And that's one of the things that I know I need to do one of these days is I need to get rid of some of these. I need to go through them and say, no, not interested. And most of the books that I end up keeping are going to be more, say, spiritual or metaphysical in nature. What I like to call the ancient wisdom teachings kind of thing. Whereas politics and that kind of stuff, no, that can go.
Well, you know, when you're doing this, even though you don't have plans to move, okay, it's still, if you follow the stuff, the pre-information in this book, then you're actually lightening your load in your life and in your home as you have it, which can be very pleasing and less stressful when you're not opening a closet and 15 things are falling out at you and you go, why do I have this? I don't need this. You know, so if you kind of think along the lines that you could move at any point in time and you follow the steps for that, then you're prepared.
We are talking with Deborah Jacobs, and she has a very unique and I think fun book too, because it can make your transition wherever it is you're going, or even as you had just stated, even if you're not going anywhere, a lot easier. Happy Move is the title of the book, Deborah Ann Jacobs. And we're talking to her about this process of getting ready to move. But let's talk a little bit about this aspect of, okay, I'm not moving, but I have got a lot of stuff that I really don't need. I haven't touched. Now, I've heard this saying, let's say you move. You have all these boxes. If you have not touched or even opened one of these boxes in at least 1 year, I think that's kind of the mark. Don't even open it, just get rid of it. Now, I don't know that I agree with that because there could be something in there that you may wish you had kept, that you stuck in there just at the last minute kind of thing before it was sealed up.
What I do is I recommend when you're first packing the boxes, have two boxes, the keep box and the go away box. The keep box, you pack it with everything that you know you want to keep, seal it up, label it so you actually will know what's in it a year from now when you haven't opened it. And the go away box just goes away.
Now, should we go ahead and endure the expense of boxes, or like the Costco carries these black with yellow lid containers?
They're horrible.
They're terrible.
They're terrible. You always want to stick with boxes, and I'll tell you why. I have tried the plastic containers on moves. The number one reason that you have damage in a move is from vibration. It's not necessarily the slamming of boxes on each other, it's the vibration of the trucks. That plastic, unless you know how to pack those plastic containers all the way to the outside edges and all the way to the top so it is firm, they will crack, they will break, and your stuff goes everywhere. So you want to use cardboard, and I always recommend people just go to Home Depot or someplace and buy new. Don't go to the grocery store and get 15 different sizes, because when you go to load that truck, you're not gonna, it's going to be like a jigsaw puzzle from hell. You want things to be the same.
Well, either jigsaw puzzle from hell or a game of Tetris. Now, I consider myself a master consolidator. I've actually had to deal with that kind of a situation where I'll come across a closet, or I'll come across some area where there's a bunch of stuff that's all over the place. And I'm thinking, you know what? There's some stuff that needs to be thrown out, but some of this stuff could be consolidated into one, maybe one box or one drawer or what have you. And my philosophy is, if there is any air in that container to breathe, then there's a place for something.
Well, you
Even,
would be a great packer.
yeah, even if that means that it's going to be, I've got a box of books and they're all different sizes, and now I've got this one area that's open, but I don't really have any books that'll fit. I might go and get, not clothing, but I might go ahead and get some towels, something like that, or some bedding, sheets, pillowcase, et cetera, or a pillow or what have you. Something like that that I'm not going to miss, that is not going to be of a problem. And also, going back to your other point, that if I were not to touch this box for a year, that I won't miss the pillow. It's nothing more than packing to prevent what you're talking about, that vibration.
Well, and if you follow the labeling instructions in the book, you're going to write on here books and blue pillow.
So
So
make
you
sure.
know exactly what's in there. And I will tell you something that you just brought up that's really important for people that are moving. Do not pack a full box of nothing but books. It's going to be too heavy. And when they put it, or you put it on the little roller to get it out to the truck, it's going to shimmy and shift, and those corners are going to break. So you want to pack your bottom level with books and then put something lighter on top of it, like pillows.
There's a lesson learned, because I would have packed it all with books, because, well, that's what I want to put in this box is books.
And it's going to be really heavy to lift, and then it's going to tweak, and those corners or the top are going to crack and break.
Okay, so now we're going to get down to the brass tacks here. How many times have you moved? Seriously?
Well, 29 full moves in 40 years. Now, I've done a lot of in the same town or from one block to five blocks over, on top of those 29 moves, but 29 major moves, like from coast to coast.
I'm trying to count on how many hands do I need here. Out of my parents' house was the first move. Then I got married and moved into an apartment, then moved into a trailer, then moved into a house, which I lost in the divorce. So what is that, four?
That's, well, when you
Then
add out of it after the divorce, so that'll be five.
Yeah, and that there was another issue. There's another issue too. If you're moving because of a divorce, you might want to get your stuff out before they change the locks on the door, because I didn't get a chance to go through the file cabinet of things. Not that I had anything in there that I was afraid of or ashamed of or anything, but boy, they love to use that stuff in the process, in the legal proceedings. Oh, well, he had this and he had that, and it's like, so.
That's also true for a death in the family. I
Yeah.
had that problem when my father died, and one of my brothers showed up and decided he was going to pack the entire house and ship it to himself while I was making funeral arrangements.
Oh boy. Well, I famous last words. Clear my browser history. Yeah, I know. I see. That's the other thing too, is that I think that my parents were so close that on my father's passing, I don't think that my mother, well, she did come across only one surprise. It wasn't horrible. It was a financial issue that apparently in the latter year or so, that my father took care of the books, as it were, for the most part. That when my mom went to the bank following his passing to get everything straightened out and in her name and this and that and the other, he had made a few minor errors, and she was able to get them rectified. No problem there. It was just she shouldn't have had to. But needless to say, you just never know what the deceased has done prior. I mean, that's one of my concerns, is I handle the bills in the family as well. And there's just two of us. But I have my, for example, my laptop has access to all of the different financials. But I have a fail safe, so to speak, that would allow her to, or somebody else in on her behalf, to access them as well. So I've kind of set it up in that respect. But when you're going through things in the closets and in the attic or in the basement, what about this aspect of, oh my gosh, I can't even believe I have a friend who also has a storage unit. They're paying like $100 or $200 a month for additional stuff that they've collected. They're older than I am, and I can understand why they'd have more stuff, but still.
You know, I had somebody yesterday call into a show who basically had the same situation. It's like their parents had died and they put all their stuff in storage. And it's like, why are you doing that? You know, there are furniture places that will sell things on consignment. Go through it. Unless you're planning on moving to a bigger place where you know you can get all that out of storage and use it, don't keep it. I want to comment on something you said about, you know, where all your records are stored. One of the things that you will love in this book is the forms. You know, God forbid something happens to you. In here are forms that you can fill out where your significant other is going to know who the utility company is, what the account is, the banks you have, what your doctors are, where you've gotten tests. And then if you do move, all of that is in one book that you can simply take into the new doctor and they say, where can we get the records? Oh, here, right
Yeah.
here. Or banks or your phone company, you know, where you get moved. Have you ever moved and you never get that final bill and suddenly it shows up on your credit report and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't get it. Well, if you have the information, you know, 2 weeks after your move, you open your little book and you call the number in it and you say, calling about account number such and such, what do I owe you? It took me 7 years to get it off my credit from them not forwarding the mail.
Yeah. Wow. A thought just occurred to me too, our phones in particular, not just laptops and computers, but our phones. Some people will use biometrics as a password, whether it's face recognition or fingerprint, that kind of thing. And the thought has occurred to me that I do have a backup of a code. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to put that somewhere where they will find it, so that if they don't have my thumb, which they won't, they'll still be able to access the phone and all of the pertinent information that is necessary in that regard. It seems to me that's and of course this is sort of a sidebar conversation here regarding moving, but it's still even in the moving, again, if you're moving because the passing of a relative or a spouse or what have you, or parents and that kind of stuff, it's something that we need to think about. We're talking with Devra Jacobs, and we're talking about this fun little book called Happy Move. That's right, which might. If you do it right, if you do it well, you read the book and you follow through, might give you happy feet. What's the website you want to send people to, Devra?
It's ahappymove.com.
All right, you got it, folks.
Oh, and you got to tell people about the contest, because if somebody's getting ready to move, we've got a contest going that they can enter. There's no purchase necessary to win, but there's all kinds of prizes in this contest, including items to help you move.
Ooh, yeah. I would say, aside from the delivery of our stuff, 500 miles distance, the bigger, ex the next biggest expense was the packing materials, be it the boxes, the bubble wrap, the tape. I'm not sure we used paper, rolls of paper. I think we stuck with bubble wrap. I think it was just easier to work with, at least as far as. Feeling like you're protected, the things are protected. But then we did use bedding. We actually did use towels and sheets and pillowcases, those kinds of things. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember if we marked the boxes. We may have. I think we, no, I take that back. I think we did. I do believe we did, especially when I took my studio apart. The box read studio equipment, and that type of thing. But
Yeah,
those
that's
kinds
a
of
huge.
packing materials are important,
Yeah, but people always forget when they first start packing, they go to their dresser and they start dumping all these clothes into a box. Most of those clothes are going to be great packing material. You can stick your glasses, in the kitchen into a sock. Again, remember it's the vibration that causes breakage. So if you've got 18 sweatshirts, use them to wrap your breakables in them.
That was something else too. The kitchen, in particular, the china cabinets where you've got all of the they've got all of this stuff that is breakable, obviously, and some of it might very well be, if not valuable, monetarily valuable, sentimentally. You definitely want to make sure that you take the time. To secure those in the right kind of or proper packing material. I'm wondering in that instance, and of course, we're getting into some specifics here, if some of the smaller things, it might behoove us to get smaller boxes that these things will fit in, pack them in those smaller boxes to then put in a larger box, and then you'd label it, China cabinet materials or what, crystal or what have you.
You need to be going on our YouTube channel and watching our videos. We have videos on how to pack those things.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you're on the right track. I will tell you, like with sharp things, all your scissors, your knives, your forks, things that are going to stab you when you go to unpack. There's videos on how to pack those properly. And don't pack your Tupperware until you pack stuff in your Tupperware.
Ah, they're open containers. There's air in there. Fill that airspace.
Absolutely. And because they're plastic or rubbery, you can use them on the top of boxes to make sure those box tops are firm, no matter what you have
Oh.
under them. Because that's where your breakage is. When you go to put stuff in your truck rental, your U-Haul or your pod, and somebody's helping you and they put something like one of your boxes of books on top of your box of china. You don't want it to crush.
Well, one of the other things too, I worked for about a year in a warehouse. And the warehouse was filled with hundreds, I think, of different kinds of light bulbs. This was a company that employed blind people and visually impaired people. who would, when the trucks came in, help to offload the pallets. Well, we did have a foreman who ran the forklift, but we would then break the pallets down. We would then take the items to the shelves. We would then, every morning, we would get an or a series of orders for different light bulbs. We would go through the shelves, pick them, send them up front to the packing department, which we were also a part of. And I would say that the most challenging part of this process was the packing, because for that year, the orders could be for 1 8-foot fluorescent bulb. Seriously, one. So here was the process. The first thing you do with that 8-footer, you wrap it end to end in bubble wrap. Then you take a sheet of cardboard and you wrap it end to end in that cardboard, taping it closed. Then you make end caps. Then you take a two pieces of wood on opposite sides of the box that you've just created with the bubble wrap and the light bulb inside, and you would then tape those pieces of wood to that box, and it was ready to ship. They changed the rules after 1 year, saying, okay, you can't order one anymore. You want any, you're going to get a box of them. And of course, a box of 8-foot fluorescents comes in those egg carton type of trays, and there are usually two or three or four in there. You're going to order, 12. Sorry, you're going to order 12 bulbs, or 16, whatever it is. And you'll have them on hand when they go out, because they will go out. Because, and this was the funny thing, talk about poor packing. This was a military contract, and this was military light bulbs. And the military was transferring all of the handling of these light bulbs from all of the different locations around the country to our warehouse. You know what their breakage rate was, both incoming and outgoing? Over
What?
25%. Do you want to know what our breakage rate was, incoming and outgoing, of
Zero.
blind people? Less than 1%. And when you are talking about packing, I actually enjoy doing that. Matter of fact, we had to do that when the radio station that I worked for, it was sold. Thankfully, the new owners decided to keep the same format, so I still have a job. But we had to pack stuff up to move it across town. Or in my case, I had to take a bunch of books home. And yes, I did fill one of those black containers with books, and it was a heavy son of a gun. Even with help, it was heavy to get in the back of my Volkswagen. But there's something really satisfying. I want to talk a little bit about that, Deborah. Deborah Jacobs, my guest. Happy Move is the book. ahappymove.com is what will is the website we will be linked to, ladies and gentlemen. So we certainly hope that you will avail yourselves of this contest as well. First of all, tell us once again how we go about this process of entering this contest. What are the qualifications?
Oh, you just go to the website and click on the contest page and you can enter. Of course, we love when people buy the book and they can
Sure.
enter the receipt number, but you don't have to do that. There's other instructions for sending a postcard in to us to enter without having bought the book. But I mean, there are prizes like $100 U-Haul gift certificates. I mean, all kinds of stuff that people can use. One thing I was going to comment on, Richard, you raised a real important point. This book is not just for people moving their homes. Think about when you moved your office. You can use every single thing in this book for moving a business.
One thing that struck me more than anything else about this move, the office move. I was in that building from 2006 until mid-January of 2024. Over those years, and this was a comment I would make rather often, I could not believe how much stuff I had accumulated in those years. It's like, are you serious? I have boxes of books, cardboard boxes of books at home sitting on top of bookcases, let alone books in the bookcases.
You just
And
have your own library.
oh, it is. I actually need two or three more bookcases to take all of these out of the boxes and shelve them if I was going to do that. But actually, what I will do is I'll go through them and say, okay, I'll keep this, again, a box for get rid of and a box for keep, that kind of thing. But yeah, you make a very good point, and you don't realize we actually went through the break room and we found an unbelievable amount of kitchenware, plastic as well as metal utensils, plates, coffee cups like you would not believe. And all of that stuff is going to, I think I took, and I did, I took it all to the Goodwill. And then we had some other things also, some lamps, table lamps, coffee makers, and so forth. Again, I took all of that stuff to the Goodwill. And it wasn't, this is, here's another thing I want to talk about. And you made reference to tax deductions. You know that I don't give for that purpose, and it's never enough for me to declare. I mean, you'd have to give thousands of dollars worth of stuff in order to
No,
declare it on your taxes, I would think.
you can. It doesn't matter if the value of something's $2. You can still declare it as a donation on
Sure.
your taxes. It's still worth doing.
Yeah.
I always get the slips. I always have, because I have a tendency, because I've moved so many times, I don't allow myself to accumulate any longer, because I know at a moment's notice I could end up moving. And I don't want to have to go through that process. So I do this probably every 6 months. I go back through. If there's clothes I haven't worn in 2 years, it's gone. If maybe I change my bedding because I want a different style. Well, the old bedding, there's no reason to keep it. It's
Yeah.
not like I have company, so it gets donated. And there's so many places that you can donate to. That I mean, really need this. I had a treadmill, and I never got on the treadmill. I spent $1,000 for a treadmill that we all looked at and hung our clothes on, and so I donated it recently to a local fire department, and they loved it. So I mean, it doesn't have, even if it has some sort of value, financial value, it has more value in what the energy is of what you're going to do with it. But why would I keep it? I'm never
Yeah.
going to get on it.
That's a very good point too. I mean, we get collect stuff as we live somewhere thinking, "Oh, we'll use this." I mean, we bought in the 25 years my wife and I have been together, I think we bought, if not one, maybe two different Bowflex devices. And basically, I think both of them wound up, basically, we used them to hang clothes on.
Yeah. And that happens. This was the third treadmill I had bought in the last 4 years. My daughter made me swear I would never buy another piece of workout equipment.
It is amazing. And then of course you have this other issue. It's a sidebar of sorts. The whole, and there are television programs about hoarders. Now this is a different subject, sorta, but I know that even my wife has commented on her concern over becoming one of them. And I keep telling her, as long as we have open space throughout our house, regardless of how much space we've taken up along the walls that has not encroached into the carpet area, okay? We're not hoarders, okay?
Right.
We're not. Now, I have a shed. It's an 8x8 that's been standing since we moved there in 2006. It's amazing it's lasted as long as it has. And I have various types of plastic and containers in there filled with all kinds of stuff. And I need to start pulling that stuff out of there, pulling them out of there and starting to go through them, whether we're moving or not. Because I don't have the resources right now to spend $5,000 on moving another 9,000 pounds of stuff.
Well, and think of it this way. God forbid something happened to one of you and you decide, I don't need this big a place. I need to move. You want to then start going through all of
No, I hear you.
that?
Absolutely. It is one of those issues that we don't think about. I mean, I don't even like talking about moving. My wife wants to move. She wants to move further north. Well, all right, you want to talk about it? I don't want to move further north. I want to move to Ireland. We've been there twice, a total time, the two times totaling 1 month. And
There's a
I
lot of preparation that goes into an international move. I will tell you that right now. I've
Okay.
done it. I moved to Korea. And in the book, there's a whole chapter on international moves. There is a lot that goes into preparation to even know if you can move there.
Right.
A friend of mine moved to Ireland about 2 years ago. It took her 2.5 years to get a dual citizenship to allow her to move there.
Ah. Well, then I better get started because so
Yes,
far
you should.
I haven't found anybody in Ireland yet who is willing to adopt me. That would be ideal, but by the same token, apparently there is another way that I can get there as far as dual citizenship. I do have relatives. My mother on my mother's side, I think it was my great grandfather who was Italian. And apparently, Italy. If you can, obviously prove that any one of your relatives is from Italy, you can get Italian citizenship and they're part of the EU, as is Ireland, that is the Republic thereof. And then you're kind of good to go in that respect. But
That's
I know.
why I say in the book, always go to the back section of the references because we have put in so many references for if you're going to move to Ireland, here is a website. Go check it out. It'll give you an inkling of what you can and can't bring. I mean, down to pets. I mean, if you're moving to California and you own a ferret, you can't take that ferret to California. So, you got to go to the resource guides and find out, okay, this is where I want to move. What do I need to do to prepare for that? And what can you take? And trust me, you don't want to ship furniture to Ireland. It will cost you a bloody fortune.
Yeah, you might as well go ahead. Well, we're not going to take any of the furniture with us. We're going to cut it up. We're going to burn it in the fireplace, keep warm during the winter, and then we're going to move into spring.
I have fully paid 100% for of my move just by selling stuff on one of my moves.
Now that is an excellent way to do it. If you can pay for it by selling the stuff that you're not going to move, that you're not going to need. Then that's the way to do it. Then it doesn't cost you anything. Now,
Right.
because you made this reference, I want to dive into this. Happy Move. Okay, that's the title of the book. ahappymove.com. Okay, that is the website address. And Dreva Ann Jacobs is our guest. She is the author. I want to ask you about, obviously, we've been talking about the stressful life event. But I want to talk about the how getting a copy of Happy Move can hopefully de-stress it, not 100%, but maybe 95%, and what that does to the move and the, shall we say, the psyche of the individual or individuals who are in that process. Because when we made the decision to move to California, to move to Santa Barbara, I was not focused that much on the future, other than obviously finding a place to live here in Santa Barbara, figuring out how we're going to get things moved. But it was more, those were like progressive things that one thing led to another and so forth. And The only stress I can recall was waiting for the proceeds from the sale of the house to be deposited into my wife's bank account so that we could hit the road. We knew we had money in the bank, that kind of thing. But for the most part, it was not March was the R&R travel to Santa Barbara, then the rest of March, April, and the early part of May was getting everything packed up and ready to go. And it was like it almost took on a second nature kind of thing. I did not feel that stressed. We weren't working, so it wasn't like, okay, I got to go to work, I'll be back and we'll continue. So talk to us about the impact on the individual or individuals, and or and your, well, let's talk about your experience in terms of how you felt after each successive move, because obviously you got better and better at it, you got more and more knowledge to where I'm not going to say it became 100% stress-free, but it sure was a heck of a lot easier the next time and the next time for you.
I think for me, in every move I've made, I've learned something. Aspects of it got easier, but if I had this book, everything would have been easier because it's before, during, and after the move. And so I learned all these key things, like when I was, you'll appreciate this one. When I was driving from Arizona to North Carolina, going down 40, weather's beautiful. I didn't check the weather before I got into North Carolina, and I arrived with my U-Haul truck in the middle of a hurricane.
Oh, jeez.
If I had checked the weather when I was in, say, Oklahoma and gotten a hotel for one day, I would have missed it completely. So those are little things that you don't really think about, but I've got them in this book because I now understand it's the things you don't think about that are going to cause you stress. When we were driving to California from Arizona, we were in a truck pulling a car trailer. Well, I always took it for granted that, hey, I'm a girl, I'm going to let the professionals load the car onto the carrier and trust they know what they're doing. Dumb mistake, very dumb mistake. I should have had them show me exactly what they were doing because we're coming down this mountain, going into coming out of Arizona at 65 miles an hour, and the car decided it was going to come loose from the trailer.
Oh, no.
And we got stuck on the side of the road for almost 3 hours waiting for a person from that company to come secure our car back on the trailer, 120 degree heat, my
Oh.
daughter, my granddaughter, two dogs, and a cat.
Oh.
And that was a fairly recent one of my moves. So every single move I've made, something has come up. And when we were writing this book, I asked people, what, tell me your nightmares on moves. And all of these stories are in this book. I mean, everything from, trying to move a chameleon when you're driving cross country. The whole concept of the book in a nutshell is that we hope that it takes it from a grueling process, stressful process, to looking forward to an adventure, a journey.
See, that's how I like to view it. When we've had these, well, when we had to evacuate, this is different. A little different because then you got to pack fast to evacuate due to a wildfire. And once we had a place to stay, for me, it was like a staycation. It was an adventure. I still had to go to work. My wife had to go to work too. We didn't know how long we were out for 10 days. Didn't even know that our renter's insurance that we don't have anymore. That it covered up to, I think the deductible was $1,000, and we actually got reimbursed that $1,000 from a couple of other sources, which was very nice. So it didn't cost us anything. But there was a part of me, a very small part of me, that was thinking, you know what? Just let the fire go in and take it all out. And we'll start over.
Yeah.
We won't have to move it, and so on and so forth. Now, it didn't happen. That didn't happen. But I was only half serious in that regard. Thank God the universe wasn't listening. But there's a certain element of when I see a lot of these natural disasters, and again, my heart goes out to these people when they lose their homes and their belongings and all of this kind of stuff. And at the same time, I'm thinking, yeah, but what a great adventure starting over. Because think about it, you still have a network. Hopefully, you've set up a network of family and friends that you can turn to. I mean, we had that. Matter of fact, the last two nights, we stayed in two different hotels back in 2017. And we then stayed for the last two nights of the 10 days. We stayed with a friend who offered to put us up, not knowing how long we'd be there. And that was terrific. Fortunately, we have animals too. Fortunately, the dog shelter had room for our dogs, I should say. And we had a place, another place that we were able to take the Humane Society to take our cats. Now, we had at one time three dogs and nine cats. Now, on this situation, we didn't have nine cats. We had fewer than that. But anyway,
Could you imagine moving permanently with all of that stuff?
no, I try not to. It gives me the sweats. This is, to me, this is fascinating, and we've had a lot of fun, and that's really what we want to try to do, is bring a little joy to the conversation, because again, we are talking about a rather stressful, deal here. We're talking about a situation where this can really wear on you, and then when you get to your destination and now you're unpacking and your body is just not in a place physically that can handle what's coming next, and that is, guess what? The unpacking.
Which, if you've done it per the book, is easy. Everything has been marked. As soon as the movers brought everything in, they knew bedroom one, bedroom two, kitchen. You're not having to haul boxes all over your house to unpack. When you get them all unpacked, the first thing you do is jump on Craigslist and say, free moving boxes, you pick up, and
Yeah.
they're gone.
Well, and now Facebook has a marketplace with that kind of stuff too. But there are all kinds of places where you can do that. But Craigslist is certainly one. As a matter of fact, excuse me, after we moved here, we had brought with us an overstuffed chair and ottoman. And that was what my wife was reclining in back in 2001 when she was going through her cancer treatments, her chemo. We wanted to get rid of them, along with a coffee table. I think those were the three items, and we posted those on Craigslist. Now, this is where you gotta use your smarts here. We got a buyer who is buying to take the furniture back to New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina. Well, this is where you gotta use your smarts, because the offer was, okay, we'll send you a certified check to, or money order, I should say, to ship them for the shipping costs, plus
Yeah.
obviously extra for the cost of the items, and so forth. So I'm thinking, something's not right here. So I actually took the money order to the bank, my bank.
That
No
was bad.
such bank,
Yeah.
no such account. So
We
I
talk
strung.
about scams like that in the
Yeah.
book,
Let's talk a little bit about that. You got to be careful. And also moving companies.
too.
Moving
Moving
companies.
company,
Because what happens if
rentals.
you hire a moving company that is not reputable, and what ends up happening is, okay, everything's packed up. All right, we'll meet you. This is what the moving company that picked us up said. Fortunately, it was the same moving company that my wife's father owned when he was alive, had been sold to somebody else. And they knew, she knew them, they knew her. But what happens if the moving company isn't reputable and they say, "We'll meet you in Santa Barbara," and they never show up, and your
Well,
stuff is gone?
it's actually there's been a lot of cases documented in the last 5 years where movers they're telling you one price, and then they pick it up and they tell you another price, and they're actually legally allowed to hold it captive until you come up with the money. So that's why I said, especially in the book, look at the contracts, get three estimates from major movers. Make sure that they have insurance. There was a family that was moving cross country, huge semi coming through Phoenix a few weeks ago. And the movers had put the propane tank for the barbecue on the truck. It blew up. The entire truck burned down. And the movers they had hired had no insurance.
No.
Lost every single thing in their household. So there are a lot of things you have to really pay attention to. You
Yeah,
know,
that.
when you go online and you're looking for movers and it says United Van Lines reputable, and it's really not part of United Van Lines at all, but you call them and they say they are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you vet it. I always make people come out in person to
Yeah.
do the estimates. And
Now let
I
me.
look at the contract and
Yeah.
what does it say in the little bitty print?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question though. Let's say something like that does happen, where there's the fire and everything burns up in the truck. Does your, because you probably would still have it in vogue for at least 30 days after you've,
Nope.
does the
I know
insur
what you're
does
going
your
to say.
homeowners or renters insurance cover anything like that?
Not once you permanently have left the residence.
Okay. All right.
So once your house is sold and closed and all your stuff's on the truck, you no longer have homeowners insurance for stuff that's not in that home. You have renter's insurance. The moment you drive away, you have no coverage.
You have no
If you
coverage.
but if you work with reputable companies like Packrat or U-Haul, they give you insurance coverage. You just don't lie to them about what you're going to put in the truck. So many people decide, oh, well, I'm going to take the barbecue. You know, leave the propane tank, or they're packing and they're going to take that aerosol can. No, it will blow up in a truck. So you really want to pay attention.
Well, I first of all, I want to give a shout out. I hope they're still in business some 18 years later. Hazelwood Moving and Storage here in Santa Barbara. They did a great job. I was still shocked that we actually hacked the 18-wheeler. I mean, we packed it from front to back. I was like, are you kidding me? I
That's
again,
a
that's
lot of
one of the
stuff.
things that just blew me away, was that we actually filled their trailer with all of our stuff. And that's why a friend of mine had to bring a fire pit on wheels that we had to leave behind, and then our wheelbarrow, which I still have, strangely enough. It's a rust colored because it's all rusty, but it still hauls stuff.
That you
Anyway.
had a lot of stuff. A lot of
Oh.
times it moves, you may be. Your load isn't as big. And so somebody's maybe in with three other people's loads going to different parts of the country. And this is why it's important when they're unloading the truck, you'll have a sheet with all the numbers of every single item.
Yeah.
Don't let them rush you. Although I lost a vacuum cleaner that was a piece of junk and ended up with a really nice footstool, but that was someone else's.
That's good. That's good. I love that. Deborah Jacobs, Happy Move. ahappymove.com is the website. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I want to thank you, Deborah, for sharing with us, having some fun with this, because it's something that, somewhere down the road we're all going to face. I still remember getting into broadcasting in 1979. I was going to school in 80. for it, a 6-month course, and they said, be prepared to move a lot because that's the nature of this business. Well, for the first, what was it, 46 years of my career, I stayed in Phoenix. And so far, for the last 18 years, I've stayed in Santa Barbara. So I guess I'm an anomaly more than anything else. But moving is not, because you're going to move, like us, we just moved our office. Matter of fact, what's real interesting, just as a side note, the building that we left, I don't know the square footage, but we had a break room. My boss had his own office. We had a lobby. We had a reception area. We had a control room, another room we called the traffic room, which is where you did the logging and so forth, the financials. And then we had a production room. And there was a hallway that connected all of these entryways. We moved into a new office. Actually, it's not even an office. One room that's 10 by 15. None of the furniture came with us. We do have a storage room, which is about the same size as the room I'm in talking to you right now. But most of that is filled with the current owner's equipment and stuff that they're storing in there. But I was able to move things around, consolidate, and so forth, so that I brought in a refrigerator, small little apartment refrigerator, and a microwave from the office. But we were forced to downsize because there was no room for everything. My boss made, I don't know how many, 20 or 25 or 30 trips to a shredding company here in Santa Barbara to shred files that were 20, maybe more years old. I mean, it was amazing what we have had to go through just to get where we are. And we're still, I would say we're still in a recovery stage, because I would say officially we moved in here February 1st of 2024. So we're still working out some of the kinks and this and that and the other, but it's
See,
been an interesting
everything
transition.
moves.
What's that?
Everybody moves.
Everybody moves. Yeah. And all of a sudden the song from REM, Everybody Hurts. Yeah, if you move wrong, yes, everybody hurts. I have three final questions I want to ask you that I ask all of my guests at the end of the program. First of all, thank you for giving us so much time, and pardon me for my dry throat. I keep taking a drink here. Sadly, it's unalcoholic, but that's okay. But I have three questions I'll ask you in just a moment. But first, I want to thank you for, first of all,
Thank
putting
you.
up with me. But also, thank you for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We are here on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., Wednesdays at 9 a.m., Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m., and we stream live at those times at richarddugan.com. We podcast at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and many other locations, too numerous to mention here. But you'll find us. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch these conversations. And we ask you to subscribe and click notification so that the next conversation is posted, you'll be notified. If you can support the work that we are doing financially, we would be gratefully appreciative. We have a PayPal account. It is there for your security as well as ours. And when they ask you for an email address to whom you're sending, put in richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. We also ask that you take some time to go within, listen to that still small voice. We hope that you'll take some time. I try to do that, get to the beach as often as I can here. Wasn't able to do that too much in the 46 years that I was in Phoenix, because the beach was too darn far away. But I can get there now and just relax and enjoy myself and just know that I'm in the right place at the right time, as I have been for probably the better part of my life. And I'm hoping that whatever move that you are going to go through will continue to keep you in the right place at the right time. With all of that being said, we go to our final three questions for our very special guest. Her name is Devra And Jacob said, by the way, that is spelled D-E-V as in Victor, R-A, not Deborah, but Devra. Deborah Ann Jacobs, happy move, and ahappymove.com. And my first of three questions is to you. Who is Deborah Ann Jacobs?
Well, I am a very happy grandmother, living in Flagstaff, Arizona, with my daughter and my granddaughter, who is now in college. I've been a very successful literary agent representing authors from all over the world for the last 14 years. And now I have a book of my own, with my best friend, Britt Elders. So that's who I am.
What gets you up in the morning?
Probably the excitement of what I do as an agent. I love being able to be the negotiator, the middleman, to get these really great books published by really good publishers. And having it's just like being able to be part of the process of bringing these words into the physical realm.
And finally, what was your best day?
Today, every day,
Well,
there is
Deborah,
no best.
I'm sorry, say again.
There is no best day. It's every day.
Every day. Well, Deborah, thank you so much. We appreciate the extended time that you've given us here on the program. And who knows? Maybe we'll see you passing on the highway, moving our stuff from one place to another.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
And I thank you again for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story. And until our next broadcast, podcast, videocast, love to Lal. Jeanette, I am still listening. Dad, continue to be happy. I am. Smokey, I will see you on the other side. And to my dear friend Zorro, aho, aho.